Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Vital Health Community Q&A Open Coaching Call for the month of November 2018. We are actually just a couple of days away from our U.S. Thanksgiving holiday, so I'm excited. We're doing this. Our schedule's been wacky this year, this month, because of our Shine event at the beginning of the month and then our holiday at the end of the month. So we're having a lot of calls close together. So I hope you guys have your questions all stacked up and are ready to go, and we can make this as long or as short as you want to within the scope of what we have scheduled. And I'm really going to start off by saying I'm very grateful and thank you for all of you in my life. I know a lot of people thank me because I give you lots of answers to your questions and guidance and all that, but in reality, it's you that makes what I do possible. The fact that you're out there and you're hungry for information about your health and eager to make changes and know what to do and what to eat and how to live and breathe and move and lab tests and all that, it helps me to create this situation where I get to work with you guys on a day-to-day basis. I get to actually live my dream of being instrumental in changing our healthcare system to a true healthcare system. And I thank you for that, because if it wasn't for you and others like you who are so hungry for this information, I wouldn't be able to do what I get to do. So appreciate that. So that's my expression on this Thanksgiving holiday coming up. And even if you're not in the U.S. and you don't celebrate our official Thanksgiving, it's always great to celebrate and thank and have gratitude for all the blessings you have in your life. So with that said, the way that these calls work, for those of you who are new, welcome to new members. I appreciate you being here. The way we work these calls is that we have an hour plus or minus to spend together, and I get to answer whatever questions come up for you, with the understanding that, you know, I'm not diagnosing, I'm not treating, I'm not replacing medical advice. I'm really giving you education from my experience, expertise, 25 years of experience over that in as a healthcare practitioner in functional and nutritional medicine, but also from my own experience before that when I was in your shoes searching for the answers for myself way before the internet. So it's a little harder to do then. So you can ask questions. The way that you can do that is if you're on the telephone, do a *2. And that's my favorite way, actually, because I love to hear voices and interact. So if you want to do that, do *2 on your telephone keypad, and you're able to ask questions, share a resource, share a celebration of something that you've put into practice that's really paying off for you. The other way is, after on the web, there's a little screen, a box up at the top, and one says Q&A and one says chat. Chat is our two-way conversation. You can chat with me, with Lynn, other people on my team, and other members of our community via the chat. If you have specific question that you want me to answer, that's okay at the beginning of the call sometimes, but as the call progresses and more people join, it gets harder and harder for me to see those. So if you put it in the Q&A box, then I can see them because it's just a one-way conversation and I can control the speed that they come through at. What I usually like to do is at the beginning of the call, I check to see if someone who couldn't make it to the call wanted some questions answered, and I like to do that right at the beginning. So I'll go to the Q&A and see what's there, and then we'll go from there, and I just bounce back and forth between the chat, between the Q&A, and then between the online. So if you want to get your question and you're on the phone, or you wanted to share something, *2 raises your hand and it'll get y'all queued up. All right, so I'm going to go to Q&A. I see a whole lot of chats in there. Welcome, everybody. It's great to see you there. I see Kiki put in from Brooklyn, put in a couple. What would be the best protocol for me to help my mom with her ASAT and ALAT very high? Okay, so those are liver enzymes, AST and ALT very high. I'd love to help her restore her liver. She has never had alcohol, but has been on meds for many years for blood pressure and pain. I hope it make it to the call if you need more details. Yeah, so I certainly don't like to diagnose people long distance, especially not answering questions for someone who's not on the call or who's not in the community, because I don't know enough. Someone who hasn't had alcohol but has been on lots of meds for years for blood pressure and pain, the meds actually put a lot of strain on her liver. And anybody that's got elevated, it's ALT and AST on the lab testing, and those are liver enzymes. Those are often related to some sort of liver distress. So it's really the way you can help her best is to identify the source of her liver distress. Is it just the meds she's been on? Then you really want to help her to look at how can she work on resolving the pain and restoring balance, so maybe she needs less of those medications moving forward. You also want to look at her toxic exposures. What does she have in her environment? What kind of cleaning products does she use? What kind of things does she use in the garage? Does she use pesticides on the lawn? What kind of makeup or hair care products is she using? What is she eating? And you want to take away, you want to reduce the toxic load is always the first step in helping to resolve something with the liver. You can offer her some milk thistle seed extract. Of course, check in with the doctor, make sure that that's okay. But milk thistle extract helps to restore the function of the liver and the damage. It helps to repair some of the damage, and it's been used a lot in people who are on alcoholic fatty liver or alcoholic cirrhosis to reverse that. But in reality, it's removing the toxic load is the best place to start. And Kiki also asked, I've been hearing a lot about CBD oil lately, especially helping with sleep issues, and love to hear my take on it. I mean, the jury's still out on, you know, the long-term effectiveness of it, but I'd say that it's very favorable, the research that's out there. A lot of people in my community have been using it for sleep and also with pain issues. You do have to be careful about the quality of it, so really research. I understand that some of it is cheap and it's imported from China, and it may not be the best quality, but I've really seen a lot of good results with using CBD oils, especially for sleep and especially for pain. Okay, so those are questions I'm going to refresh to see if there's any more. Those are the two that came in before the call, so if you're on, you can hear the answers. And that's it for the questions. Let's see who's on the call who has their name up, their hand up. None of you. Nobody has their hand up. Star two. And then I'm looking to see if there's anything here in the chat. Let's see. Okay. Trying to move this up. All right. Here we go. So I see Mary Lynn, I said hi to Diana, Gail, Lynn Rose, Lois. I just started last week and not sure where to begin or what to ask. However, my mom is very sick with a cold and a bad cough. If you have any remedies, I would appreciate your suggestions on experiencing cold symptoms. Thank you. Yeah, Lois, great question. And in fact, every month we have our vital health topic. And last month we did blood pressure. Next month we're doing trauma, the effects of trauma. And then in January we're actually doing what you should have on hand so that you have things for when those colds and flus come up and at the earliest signs. So I'll give you a few of that now, and we'll just come in January to the vital health topic call, which of course is recorded and you'll have access to it in the library and you'll find out more. But I always think about vitamin C. High dose of vitamin C. As soon as I feel something coming on, I up my vitamin C. Sometimes I'll take 1,000 milligrams or a gram an hour. Of course, check in with your doctor or your mother's doctor before putting any of this stuff into place to make sure she's not on any medications or something that would predispose to side effects as a result. But I load up on vitamin C. I also keep around berberine or Oregon grapefruit and echinacea are my favorites, actually, in tincture form. And I just start taking a dropper full of those tinctures several times a day. If it's in the throat and there's a little bit of soreness, often go to a zinc lozenge and suck on the zinc lozenge. I also have used a throat spray. I just found out my favorite throat spray was discontinued. I'm so disappointed. It was from the herb farm. But Gaia has one, and I think a Wise Woman Herbals has one, but a throat spray. If you visit the store that we just set up with Dr. Supplement Store, and I'm going to ask Glenn to put that in there, and we'll soon announce it to the community and put that in there so you guys can get access to it. But they have all these brands where you can buy them all under one roof. And they have an herbal throat spray in there that you can look up. And I spray that, and then eating garlic and oregano or oregano oil. I've used essential oils from either doTERRA, their On Guard, or Young Living, their what's their thing called? The Terrain Max? No, it's called Thieves. So those are good essential oils. We also, if you're a Vital Community member and you're the premium member, you have access, unlimited access to the entire library of calls we've ever done, which is an awesome thing to have because then you can go in and say, oh, let me see what they've got on colds and flus or immune system and whatever. So we did a couple of different calls in there on immune system and essential oils for that. So that would be what I would be looking at. You want to look at, you know, getting off of sugar and eating lots of green leafy vegetables or juicing or drinking soups and garlic and garlic and all the Italian herbs are super important. One of the things I would do for my kids if they started coming down with something, I would steam up some broccoli and celery and one other carrots, a few carrots, and then I would put that all in the blender and onions because onions are really good and garlic. As if they tolerated it. Some of them did. One of them did, one of them didn't. But I would put some garlic too and then blend it all up in the blender and make this creamy soup and add some oregano and thyme and other things like that that are really potent antivirals. And it's all about, you know, after the cold is over and during is building your immune system. So Sandy said hi. Diana said, I'm thankful for every one of you. Thank you, Diana. I'm so honored to be part of all of this. Lynn just came in and said, hi, Diana. With all of you. Hi, everyone. Oh, somebody's name is hi, everyone. It's funny when you put your name and you put it, hi, everyone. Jeannie, yes, Diane, I feel the same about this program and everyone involved in it. Yay, so nice to hear. Lynn Rose says, lots of awesome folks here. Susan L says, hello, y'all. Hi, Susan. Lynn says, you're all an amazing community. I'm so happy and proud to be part of it. Diana, ditto to you. Thankful for this. You saved my life and my hubby, too. Aw, Diana. And Marsha, hi, Lois. Ditto to the praises and love. Yes, it's a great way to start off, isn't it? Every day we should start off with, you know, finding people to appreciate in our lives and just tell them how much we appreciate them. It's just such a great thing for them and for you. Yes, Sandy, amazing community. Lois, thank you for the PM to find this chat. Thank you, Marsha, for sending that to Lois. Marsha's awesome, isn't she? She really has been such a godsend to have on our communities and really pulling the communities together on Facebook and helping them to find what they need to get on calls and get answers to their questions. So, Lynn asks, yeah, the old saying begs, should you feed a cold or starve a cold? And breaking the cycle of consuming, what did she say? Consuming your standard meals is necessary. Absolutely. That's why I said like, you know, water and juices or just eating really light, lots of greens and things like that. I'll go to smoothies where I just blend up a bunch of greens in the blender and then add oregano and thyme and rosemary and garlic and all those things that are supportive. Diana is saying milk thistle is amazing stuff, so helpful and so fast. And that goes back to Kiki's question for her mom. And Diana is an herbalist and she's been trained and she makes her own tinctures. So she's, I love to hear that it is fast and it does change those liver enzymes really quickly. Lynn Rose said, milk thistle resource. It depends on what form you want to get them in. You can actually buy the seeds and eat them as a food and grind them up and put them on salads. I've made some really good salad toppers where I'll grind up milk thistle seeds and then put in whatever herbs and spices I like. Tincture is definitely more potent. You just do have to watch for the alcohol. Somebody is an alcoholic or sensitive to it to be careful about that. And then you can get milk thistle seed extract, which is a powdered form that Z-Natural Foods carries and in the powdered form so you stay away from the alcohol. So it's really best for everybody to try and find out what the best is. Like if your mom is sensitive to alcohol or has, you know, digestive issues or has been an alcoholic. And well, she said she didn't, but you want to be careful about the tinctures. But if she's real picky about her food and the texture and the taste, it may not be helpful to get it into her that way. And there's also Gaia, I think it is, Herbs has a blend that's, I think it's the Gaia Professional where they actually have that make the tincture extracts and then they extract out the alcohol and they put them in little capsules. So that's a real good way for lots of folks, too. And Lynn will put up the DSS thing. And we should put that up on the Facebook group, too, Marsha, like in a thing, a post, like one of those pinned post things. And then we'll make sure we announce it in the newsletter because we're so excited about this because everybody says to me, why don't you just have supplements so we can just buy them from you? Like, I don't want to. I don't want that hassle. It's just a lot. We found a store, online store called Dr. Supplement Store, and they told us that they carry all these brands and it turns out to be just about all my favorite brands. So you can go there, shop under one roof. Starting in the new year, we're going to be starting to put up little bundles like, oh, here's the cold and flu bundle and here's the blood sugar balancing bundle. That way you can just get a bunch of stuff that I use personally. It doesn't mean that I recommend it for you necessarily, but it definitely. Lynn put up a link to the It's Flu Season as Your Immune System Ready. And one of my people that does graphics on the for the Facebook group thing, she told me she created this new one from my stuff and said, yeah, get your flu shot now. And it was pictures of all these amazing little herb things. So we'll look for those graphics and that blog post. We'll be starting to do more blog posts starting next year. I think you starve anything like sickness, because I think the way it goes is if you feed a full cold, then you'll have to starve a fever, is what the original was, is what I was told. And people say, well, which is it, feed a cold or starve a fever or starve a cold? You starve both of them. You really starve both of them. You don't feed them. You get off of the sugars and the starches and all the stuff that's going to elevate your blood sugar and stress your immune system. So Lynn Rose says, I like tinctures too. I make some of my own. Someday I'm going to make tinctures. I think it'd be fun. I bought a whole bunch of dried herbs for that purpose and then I never got around to it. Diana, her favorite immune preventative is elderberry. Thank you. Yeah, elderberry's got a lot of good research on it. And you can actually just buy the berries and chomp on the berries. Them to smoothies and things like that. Soak them first because they're kind of hard. They do have a little bit of a bitterness to them, but I think they're pleasant. And then there's elderberry tea and elderberry tincture and that sort of stuff. Lots of good research on that. Thank you for that reminder, Diana. We'll be doing that when we do it in January. Maybe you can do that with me in January. Ha ha, I'll reach out to you. Sherry P. I do our health detox from all the smoke. Oh my gosh. You know, like anything else, it's first and foremost is avoid as much as possible. So if you're going outdoors to get not just one of these little thin cotton mask things, but one of those full-on chemical mask things, because it's not just the smoke and the particulate, it's actually the chemicals that get put into the air based on the burning of all that wood. So I would definitely look at that. So you reduce that, get an air filter in your home, and then support your immune system, support your liver. Take away all the other stressors. So get off your sugars and your flours and your processed foods and make sure you're eating good omega-3 fats balanced with omega-6 so that your body can support the immune system and decrease inflammation and decrease problems with that. The lungs, just supporting the lungs. So a nebulizer could actually be good. You can buy them on Amazon and, you know, just kind of keep your air, the particulate matter out of your lungs. Certain herbs that are good for the lungs, but be careful with this one, is lobelia. Just tiny drop doses can be very helpful for the lungs. NAC, N-acetylcysteine, which is really good at breaking down mucus and also helping to thin that out and let you expel anything that gets trapped so you don't get this buildup of trapped particulate and other things from the air into your lungs. Licorice root is actually good, supportive. Anything mucilaginous, marshmallow, slippery elm, things like that can be helpful for soothing those mucus passageways. And just like I said, keeping the toxic load down is supporting your immune system in some of the ways we already mentioned. Are really good. And of course, yeah, Lynn Rose is talking about hydration, plenty of sleep, psilocybin. I've seen that work really well. It's a homeopathic combo. And I remember my son, when he went out, coming from Texas where it was warm and we went to Chicago for Christmas, and he just got really bad colds came on very quickly. And I got him some of that and I gave him all the stuff I told you about, and a day later he was fine. So the stuff really works, but it's in combination. The herbs and the homeopathic are all in combination with keeping the load down, the toxic load down. Good luck with that. It's so painful for us to see. It must be way more painful for you guys to be in it, but to see what's happening out there and all the stuff you're trying to do with your health and you're getting exposed to this stuff. Diana says she carries and uses elderberry tincture as soon as the kids go back to school and continue all winter. So Lynn says, bookmark the link to our online nutrition shop hosted by Doctor's Supplement Store And there you go. You get 10% off on your first order, free shipping on purchases over 100. And she put the link in. It's www.dssorders.com/Dr. Rita Marie. And you need to use our code, our registration code, which is RL1511. And Lynn Rose says, liposomal glutathione and electrolytes is what Dr. Lynch is recommending for smoke. Yeah, that glutathione and those really high potency antioxidants. And then electrolytes to keep, because you need to be drinking a lot and you're going to be diluting them. So that's good. What else? Who else do we have? Marsha says PQQ. Yep, Dr. Lynch recommends that too. I got Seeking Health's lipo glutathione with PQQ. Yep, that's a good one. He did a talk last night on it. Oh, I missed it. Can somebody just send me a link where I could sign up for that? I'd love it. Yeah. Marsha said, love what I do and grateful to be part of this tribe. And Jeannie says, yes, we all love Marsha. Yep. What not to love, right? Gail says, thank you, DRRM, for all. Diana, Linda, I saw you sneaking late. Up to the front of the class. Ha ha. Ginger root tea. That's a good one. Yep. Yep. These are all great ideas. We'll be going through it in way more detail in January when we do that call, but please keep putting your suggestions in and you'll find what works for you. Not everything works for everyone. Marsha just posted a milk thistle seed extract powder, link. I think it's for somewhere. Z Natural Foods. I think you put the 44-pound one there, but I don't think we want 44-pound bag. That's a little big. maybe the 1-pound bag. Diana, on the milk thistle tincture, you can also make it a glycerin. With glycerin instead of alcohol, not quite as potent, but easy to take in fast. The tinctures do act quickly. Great. And Marsha just put up the DSS customer thing. Let's see. There we go. Lynn just put up milk thistle powder. And that's the actual seeds that are ground, and those can make a really good, you know, salad topping and all that. Lynn Rose said we make multi-fractional tinctures, which have more complete extraction. Yeah, if you're doing multiple things together, you have to look at what their specifics are, and that's what I leave to the herbalists. I've studied herbology. I've done, you know, 2-year training, and I don't make my own, so I don't have all that great info that Lynn Rose and Diana have. Sandy said, for sure, March is a great addition to the team. Absolutely. We can do making tinctures for a kitchen show, but I can't do it myself. I'm going to have to bring in Diana and Lynn Rose. So if you guys are up to it, let me know. I'd love to. Marsha said, yeah, burning plastics, metal, et cetera, in the San Francisco smoke, right? So it's compounds. It's compounded from the smoke, but also the chemicals that are in there. Rain, I hope it comes. I hope it comes. Yay. Okay, good. Lynn says she will do that. Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, you mean to do it locally? Maybe you can do it at my house. We can have a class here locally where people can come and actually make tinctures. Yeah. What is a psilocybin? It's actually spelled different, and it's spelled up above in Lynn Rose's. It's O-C-C-I-L. It's a homeopathic blend. Where is it? Just look up above and see where Lynn Rose posted it up above. There, Lynn Rose did it right there. A psilocybin. You can buy it anywhere these days. Yep, even the grocery store. Oh, so Lynn's posting a bunch of different blog posts that we have on cold and flu. The homeopathic's right above there, Gail. Two jots above that, Lynn Rose wrote a psilocybin. Great thing to have on hand. And Lynn Rose just put a link in. Thank you. Could all this fast smoke cause a rise in fasting glucose, Christy asked. And yes, it could, because it's a stress on the body. And that causes cortisol to rise, and your cortisol's rising to try to stop, you know, get you out of this mess. So, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Any stress would raise glucose. So I think that's what Lynn Rose said. Just to give you a little background, we have an amazing community here. So I'm, you know, the quote unquote leader of the community, and I run everything and get everything going. But the people in our community, in our practitioner group alone, Lynn Rose DeMartini has 15 years of experience as a registered nurse and then a homeopath and herbalist. So she's really well versed in so much of this stuff. And then Diana, who's in our EERC program, and she's been in Sweet Spot. She is an herbalist, and she's been trained over, I don't know, 15 years or so, and she grows her own herbs and tinctures them just for her own purposes and for her friends and family members. She doesn't have a business doing it, but she's amazingly knowledgeable about all this stuff, so I appreciate having them here. And then so many more. So we're going to be starting to bring in more and more of our practitioners who have amazing skills and talents in to do some of the kitchen shows with me and some of the calls where we're teaching, the health topic calls. So once a month, for those of you who are new, we have this call, which is the Q&A. We have the kitchen show, which we had last week, and we teach something of interest, oftentimes related to things people have been asking about or related to the season or whatever. And then we also have a health topic call. And the health topic is done live. Usually, if for any reason we can't do it live, we'll do it recorded. But over the last 6 months, every other month, we've been bringing in one of the practitioners, and amazingly talented practitioners in our group. And if you haven't gone backwards, go backwards and watch. Dorena Brown did one on liposomal vitamin C and how to make your own liposomal vitamin C and other liposomals. Lynn Rose did one on dirty electricity. Next month, Kimberly Ward's going to do one on trauma. And every other month, we're planning on bringing somebody in to talk a really great topic for you. Plus, if you're in the premium membership or you're in our ERC program where you get access to the premium membership, you get access to all of the health topics and all of the cooking shows or non-cooking shows we've done over the last 6.5 years. So the library is abundant. And you also have access to all the Q&A calls if you have the patience to listen back, and you can learn a lot there. So I encourage you, if you're just a month-to-month member, you can save a lot of money, and you can also get access to the whole thing if you join by the year instead of paying by the month. So great. All right, IV drip therapy can help you detox and jumpstart your recovery. Of course, IV drip therapy can be great. It's not always accessible to everybody where they live. From a financial standpoint, insurance doesn't cover it, and also a lot of areas, they just don't have it. Jay says about Michael McAvoy, discusses how to nebulize NAC for lung health. That is great. Does he have a link to it? Yeah, great, on a YouTube video, because that's something that is really important to do. And I know some of my herbalist teachers have used that nebulization of NAC to heal lung things, including lung cancer. So definitely look at that. And Jay, thank you very much. He just posted that link. Marcia says, yep, amazing people in this community. Christy, I appreciate the community and the breadth of knowledge and love. Thank you and welcome, Christy. We hope to have you here for a long time and just become just part of this, you know, very amazing community that is all here to support each other, and I love it. And glutathione, Lynn Rose had already mentioned glutathione. Lynn DeBure Johnson says glutathione again. So if the double Lynn say it's good, must be good, right? Yes, absolutely. Lynn, both Lynns are right that glutathione is a super antioxidant, and it's often low in folks. And there are some genetic SNPs that a lot of people have that cause a low production, and you need more of it when you've got a lot more exposure. So it helps to break things down and protect your DNA. I got my bag of glutathione today to make liposomal. Yay. And if you learn how to make the liposomal, so I highly recommend going back to Drina's talk a couple months ago, then it will cost you a whole lot less. You can buy the bulk materials and then make the liposomal yourself. And liposomal means, is basically a form that is, there's just little fat globules that don't require the digestion to actually get them in. They actually get seep in through the intestinal lining into a structure called the chylomicrons and get into circulation quickly and easily. So liposomal are becoming the rage these days because they're so much better absorbed nutrient-wise. The problem with them is the expense of buying them already made. So, for example, vitamin C, you can get a powdered, you know, like an 8-ounce jar of powdered vitamin C for like, I don't know, $25. And that's got, you know, probably, few hundred grams in there of vitamin C, maybe more. The liposomal, when you buy it, it's about $1 a gram. And so if you're taking 10 to 15 grams a day of vitamin C, it's hefty. So if you can make it yourself and you can take those larger amounts, you can actually help get the effect of sometimes like getting an IV. There's several doctors who've written that they used to do a lot of IVs and then started doing the liposomal and they realized that you could get similar effect for less, even though it's $15 a day. If you're going to do 15 grams, it's still less than getting an IV. So it's worth looking at those liposomals. And I love Seeking Help, Ben Lynch's company. I don't make any money by promoting them. I just love their quality and I push it out there to find good quality stuff. And they have a great line of liposomals. Not to say that there aren't other companies that have good liposomals, but I do like Seeking Help. And if you go to our doctor supplement store, you'll be able to see that Seeking Help is there along with Custom Probiotics and Pure Encapsulations and Premier Research Labs and all the labs that I've been using and loving over the years, Gaia Herbs, those kind of things. So let's see. Susan's making it too. Yay. Awesome. Lynn Rose said, I have several bottles of glutathione to finish off before I start making it though. Lynn, we're still working on that immune system stuff, aren't we? And the fire between the two of them, it's awesome. Breathing a steam rich with thyme can help expel foreign substances. That's good to know. Thyme's also antimicrobial. So if you're breathing that steam in, the stress of all the chemicals on your system isn't going to make you not able to handle the viruses in the environment, which tend to get higher as the sugar season progresses. Diana, I usually keep a can of water or two on the wood stove all winter and needed to keep good moisture in the dry air with the medicinal properties of the herbs and the EOs. So those are all great things. The only downside to making liposomal is it only lasts 3 days and you have to make it frequently. Yes, that's it. So any things that, you know, they take a lot of time, like making your own food, making your own smoothies, stuff. It does take time to accelerate health and to balance your body. And it's worth it if you can find the time. So when you can't, you have on hand those bottles of glutathione. So I wouldn't finish up those bottles of glutathione, Lynn Rose. I would keep them handy for the days that you don't get around to making more. So then you're not like, oh, now I'm out, right? What am I going to do? And when you're traveling, you know, you can take them that way too. The only downside, okay. So Lynn is saying psilocybin has inactive ingredients of lactose and sucrose, I believe. A lot of the homeopathic pellets do have some sort of sugar in them. There are a few that don't. What Lynn Rose is saying is inconsequential compared to its value. So I guess it's sometimes we look at the up and the down, and if the thing is going to really help support us better than anything else, you do it as long as it's not going to raise too much. I've actually taken some homeopathic pellets with sucrose, and I'm the queen of imbalanced blood sugar when it comes to not being able to tolerate much in the way of sugar or any in the way of sugar, and it doesn't bother me at all. So I think it's fine. If you have lactose intolerance, it might be a problem, but it's even you know, small amounts. It may not be a problem. I think she said, Sandy, that you make it every 3 days, that the liposomal C you can make every 3 days. And I don't know if you can make a week's worth, but watch Trina's thing again and see if you can glean more information. Lynn says, agree, Lynn Rose. Sandy mentioned it, so just passing it along. It's also not vegan. Sorry. Well, it's not vegan if it has lactose in it. That would be the reason. The simplest, and there are some, all of the companies now, I've seen them out there. They have the regular homeopathics, but now they have the lactose-free one. And most of the companies have a whole big variety of them. I recently bought some of that for the Arnica for my son. He's always hurting himself, so I buy him a lot of Arnica. Lynn is saying the simplest way to create thyme-filled steam is to add 1 to 2 tablespoons of thyme to a large bowl, pour boiling water, lower your head so it's inches from the water, cover and repeat. Yeah, you can do that with thyme. You can do that with eucalyptus. You can do that with a lot of different things, and it's really cool. Oh, it's used with duck parts, if I may, which it doesn't do. I'm not sure what you mean by the duck parts, but or we're talking about psilocybin or whatever you say. Don't confuse it with the psilocybin mushrooms, which are hallucinogenic. Okay, so now Barbara says, I don't know if it's the right place to ask. Is it okay if a dehydrator has a small plastic frame of foam powder plastic at the front and end? Everything else is stainless steel. So, Barbara, great question, and it is the perfect place to ask. My dehydrator has got the plastic all the way through, and I don't see it as a problem because the food is in there very quickly, and it's at a low temperature. You get in more trouble when it's high. Now, some people might disagree with me, and when I get to replace my dehydrator, I will get the stainless steel, but as long as the parts that are touching the food of the stainless steel. Now, if you're concerned about your food touching the plastic of the trays, then you can put down parchment paper. Just get some organic parchment paper and put that down so your food doesn't touch it. It only is the problem where the food touches it. Plus, the dehydrator doesn't go to the high enough temperatures to really make major release of the PCBs and other things in there. Which of the fine dehydrator meshes to put stuff onto dehydrate is safe? Is silicon? I use silicon in the dehydrator, and I think it's fine. I haven't seen anything that has dissuaded me from doing that, and I'm pretty picky about my health, so I think that's fine. And again, you can always put, well, not wax paper, but the parchment paper over it. Susan L., speaking of lung things, for the last 3 to 4 years, I've had some asthma issues that are indicated by these cold and windy cold fronts that come through that are induced by. The rest of the time, I'm fine. Thoughts as to what to do. You know, I would just work on just strengthening up your lungs. There's some irritation there, right? So they're getting affected by the cold air. And I would say some of the things that we mentioned in this thread here about NAC, very good for supporting lung health. You might try that. You might try that maybe, you know, before the cold fronts start to come in to shore yourself up with it. Getting a nebulizer and nebulizing it into your lungs can be very helpful. And you can watch that video Jay posted that was nebulized NAC as a function of the smoke, but you can also do that to protect your lungs. And then, you know, in general, just general lung type support. And I would go into our, in NEPT, we have the whole respiratory, cardiorespiratory module, which you'll get to at some point. I guess you're not maybe quite up to it yet, but it's got a whole bunch of stuff that herbs that support the lungs. Lobelia tends to be good, licorice and things like that. But I think maybe getting some NAC and stabilizing it beforehand and upping your vitamin C throughout. But I think there may be just some weakness there. Maybe you've had bronchitis in the past or some lung issues as a kid, or that might be your weak link. And then when the cold air comes in, it just drives it crazy. Okay, I'm going to go see who's got their hands up. And we do. We have Sandy and Kiki. Hi, Sandy.
Hello, my dear.
Hello, hello.
Good, you can hear me. I never know.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, first of all, okay, I'm going to do what you said on the call yesterday, which I think is very helpful. Sandy from Sunnyvale, California, and I'm currently in ERC. I think that's very helpful when people come on and say all that.
I agree. It helps me too. Like some of you I know who you are in Marsha, and all the people are very regular. But when new people come in or people who are, you know, just coming onto the calls the first few times, I don't know what program they're in. So I don't even know what access, like what resources to send them to in what they already have in the back end, you know? Yeah.
And it's also helpful for the rest of us to know. You know?
Absolutely.
I like that. I'm always interested where people. Yeah, I'm always interested where people live. I just think it's interesting.
Mm-hmm. And let me just type in there, Sandy, because you're interested in where people live, and it could be from an interest level, but also you've gotten together. You found out what people are in your area, and you guys have become friends and gotten together and done things together. So it's really nice when you maybe are in a community where you're not sure your friends are really into this wacky stuff you're into, or your family for sure isn't, that you'll be able to hook up with other people who are like-minded and, you know, share and make food together and have hikes together and things like that. So that's why I like it too.
Yeah, that's like been my one of my very favorite things. And whenever a new person comes in, I look at their web, their site, but hardly anybody puts where they live, and I understand because people want to be protected on Facebook, so I totally understand that. Yeah. So right now, I want to, first, before I ask my question, I want to share, I'm just like so thrilled that this planetary energy for me has changed because things are coming out way better. I mean, a lot of my food, you know, I'm always making food and all, and 99.9% of it comes out perfect. But during this time, I had so many challenges. I mean, yogurt, I'm like this yogurt wizard, and I couldn't even get yogurt to come out good. So last night I made, and I just took it out and tasted again, and I have one batch of a potato mixed carrot, colored carrots, and then the other batch is coconut, and they both came out perfect.
Oh, perfect. Wow, how wonderful.
I am like thrilled. I mean, it's been months that I couldn't even get yogurt to come out good.
What do you think was going on there?
I had thank goodness in April, I had an astrology meeting with Mary, an astrologer here that's in Los Gatos. And she's also a life coach, and she's also very intuitive. So it's not just astrology. It's a lot of things. And I've known her and been in her classes for years, and she's just wonderful. So she did a reading for me, and it's about the fourth one I've had. And they've all been so helpful. And she told me two challenges, one which is ending at the end of this month, November, which is it's transits. She looks at where the planets are in your chart and then tells you about, and she's very, very positive. Even if there's something horrible, she'll say it in a way that isn't real horrible. But anyway, this one that I've had, this Saturn one, it's like running a marathon and you're trying to get to the finish line and you just keep having obstacles. Like you go to do something. This is one aspect of it. There are a bunch of different things, but this was one of the major ones. Like I try and do something during the day and maybe I have, you know, six things on my list or whatever. I always have 12, but I mean, I could barely get one done. It was so intense. So I'm really happy that it's starting to lift. Then I have another one that I like, and because I have a Pisces moon, I've been living with it, and I didn't exactly understand why this kind of thing certain things would happen with this Pisces transit. But anyway, that one is where I'm very, she said I'm more, and I am more intuitive, more sensitive, but the challenge for it is I'm even more in the fog. So she told me this would not, I was planning to go visit my brother in Switzerland this year and, you know, come to shine and all this stuff. And she said, well, you can, but you're going to have obstacles. And I know she's right because intuitively I didn't really want to travel. I barely want to go, you know, to Marin. I mean, so it's like I've just been kind of keeping low, and she was so right. So December, next year I can start traveling again, and I'll have another reading with her either December or January, find out for next year. She said it's not a good time to move, and I know she's right about that. I know she's right. It's just not the right time quite yet. Yeah, just to San Jose.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not far.
Not far.
But just, I kind of live in this, I don't know, it's great place. We have very low rent, but it's got a lot of problems. I don't have a bathtub. It's got fluorescent lights. I know there's mold.
Yeah.
You know, there's some stuff.
Yeah, I see. So sometimes you have to weigh out, like, you know, there's looking at the perfect place. Like if you're looking from a, you know, you're looking at it from a mental emotional perspective, from the physiologic perspective, from the talk from a logical perspective, when you pull all that together, sometimes you can't find a perfect time or place for any that matches all the criteria. And you have to sit with what's the best choice right now. When I hear mold exposure, that's a red flag for me, because that grates on your health big time in very subtle ways that are long term. So weigh all these things out, sit with it, and then from an intuitive place from you, given not letting, you know, somebody else who gave you a reading who was amazing give you a reading, but from, okay, her reading plus your health plus, you know, what you know, and then you go, okay, what's the best choice right now? And I'm going to give you a hint on how I make decisions. I mostly let decisions make me. And what I mean by that is, if I have to make a decision, like, should I move to here or should I do this or that? What I look at is gathering information. And I go, okay, I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to make a decision. And I gather information. I gather information. I gather information. I talk about it with people. And then usually the decision makes itself. And that I'll be talking to you, Sandy, and I'll say, you know, if I move, I'm thinking about this. And if I move, what about that? And then one day I'm talking to you and I say, Sandy, you know, when I move, I'm going to make sure that I have this system in. And when I move, and you go, wait a minute, you just said when. And you go, oh, yeah, I did. I guess I'm moving. Do you see what I'm saying? So, like,
oh, yeah.
Sit with the possibilities until it says, you know, something comes to you and says, yep, March is going to be the best time for me to move. I'm not going to move through the summer, you know, with all this other stress going on. Or you suddenly go, I just looked in the paper, and I think there's a place available. It would be great to get out as soon as possible. Like, let it sit with you so you make the right decision. Instead of, like, sitting there and go, okay, here's the checklist. I got to make a decision. Which one should I do? And it's all in your left brain. You know, allow your intuition and your right brain to enter into the decision. And your body, your physical body.
Thank you. That's exactly what I've been doing. Exactly.
Good.
With the moving thing, it is not the right time. And I will know when I've had the most easiest successful move, it's when I did what you said. And that's what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
So now
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yep. Thank you. Because I love confirmation. And I call sleeping on it too. Sometimes when it's just a simple thing of somebody wanting to get together, then I sleep on it. And then the next morning, because I'm better in the morning than at night to make decisions like that. So the next morning, oh yeah, I'd like to go. Oh no, I don't want to go.
Also, it goes into your subconscious overnight, Sandy. It's not maybe that you're better at making it. It's just that your subconscious has a chance to really brew it. And then once it does, you go,
oh yeah,
okay.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Now my question is, in ERC, just so people know, in other programs, you're not going to have the health tracker. This is a health tracker question. I want to be able to print out the lab chart with all the different years that compare all the numbers. Now, I understand it's not really printable or it'll come out really small. Who would I talk to about getting it to be printable?
You can do it, and because we have a printable version of it. And basically, who would I talk to about knowing? I'm not sure who Lynn would be the best person to help her with that. But it's basically a kind of thing where you go into the Google Doc and you click print. And then, well, you select just the sections you want on the screen. So you select everything. So if there's blank columns off to the side and you don't want those, you just leave those there so they're not showing.
Okay.
You select it, and then you go to print and you say selection. And then it'll show you what it's going to show. And you might want to do it in landscape mode so that it's across. Uh-huh. And they have an option there that says fit columns across. And you click that, and then it'll adjust it. And, oh, yeah, that I can read that without a magnifying glass. And it's best if you can put it on 11 by 14, the legal size paper.
Mm. Okay, I have to get some 11.
Wait,
I might have
on paper.
Okay.
And I'm not sure who on our team, Lynn, if you know.
Can I jump in here? I actually went through the process this morning. I just hadn't had a chance to, so So what I was going to do was make a quick little video to show you what I did.
Thank you. I know I've been bugging Lynn about it.
No, you didn't bug me at all. I was just, it's a good question. And I thought, okay, I'll go through the steps myself because I've done it before, but it always showed up too small. So
yeah, awesome. Hey, that's your answer. Ask it.
Okay, so you'll be there.
It'll probably be later today.
I'm not in a hurry, so that's okay. Okay, so how do I make it? You'll say in there how I can make it so it's readable, so it's not real small.
Correct. And it's pretty much.
Thank you.
But that way you'll have you can listen and watch while you're going through the process.
Oh, great. Thank you, both of you, so much.
Hey, thank you, Lynn.
That's my only burning question right this moment. It's
interesting how serendipity works, so the universe works, because you asked this question, and you've never asked this question before. Nobody's ever asked this question, and she just happened to have done it today. Like,
No. I've been talking to Lynn about it.
Oh. All right, you just burst my bubble. I thought there was this like amazing
energy
happening.
But it is that she had already worked on it.
Good.
Good. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much. I'm excited that I'll be able to do this. This is really, really great.
Cool. Yeah, because I've done it myself.
Oh, you have done it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. 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 And then I did some more lab tests, so another call I will have you look at them. But it's not going to, I'm not going to do it for a while.
I have to upload it
in advance, and I have to let you know in advance. That's what I'm
going
to do.
Yep, and there's a form that we'll make sure is in all of our ERC reminders starting in January, because December's a short month, and we'll make sure that you have the access to that form and that you just say, hey, I've got this coming, so I can review in advance before any of our calls, so I know, Sandy's coming and she wants me to look at her new adrenal test, and, Marsha's coming and she wants me to look at her whatever test, and that way I know in advance, how to, work it out. Okay?
Now, is this going to be on an email, this form?
Yeah, so you know how we send you a reminder that says, and we'll put the link to the form in the
newsletter. I know what you mean.
The newsletter. We'll just put it as a permanent part of the newsletter.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
That
we have a number of things that need to be fixed in there. So yeah, I'm excited.
Thank you. You too. Thank you so much, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye.
Okay, so we have Kiki who had the liver and the, was it the mom's liver and something else questions. Now I forget, the asthma, right? So Kiki, hi.
Hi, Dr. Rita Marie, how are you? I'm back here in the Vital Call. I missed you. So I'm back here because I actually needed your support. I was in for a rude awakening that I am insulin resistant. But before I get into that, I just had two things on the top. Sorry, I'm at work, so the phone's ringing. You started out the call talking about vaccinations, and something's weighing on my mind. So I was wondering, I don't know if it's your scope of practice, but I was wondering to hear what's your take on it. Apparently, there's a measles outbreak.
Can I just interrupt there a second? I don't remember talking about vaccinations at all on this call. So,
in the beginning of the call, I don't know if someone mentioned, about the flu shot, maybe. About the flu shot, that's why. Yeah?
We talked about healing, some specific strategies nutritionally to help support when somebody has a whole
so that's why I was thinking of this came to my mind. So apparently there's a measles outbreak at my neck of the wood, and apparently it's been transported from some people who are in Israel, I don't know. Anyway, I'm 42 years old. I was born in South Africa, and my mother has no idea if I got, if I was vaccinated for measles or not. And my family strongly believes I should take a shot. People have gotten sick and had close to liver failure because of it, and I really don't want to have to take it. So I'm wondering what your take advice on such a subject is.
Okay, so first of all, my advice is I can't give you advice because it's your own decision, right? So
right.
You've got to make a decision for yourself, look at the pros and the cons. I will say in my opinion, the information that's being put out there to persuade people to vaccinate is very skewed information that's from the drug companies to talk about how great and wonderful it is, and they're not talking about all the downsides. So I would really do some research on all the negative effects of flu shots. Measles vaccines, because there's some really serious ones. Number three, measles used to be a very nothing childhood disease. Kids got sick. They got sick for a week. They got itchy. They got rashes. They got fevers. Wasn't complicated. They suddenly start vaccinating. The vaccinations, they have aluminum in them. They have all kinds of things in them. So I would really research the safety and efficacy. I would look at Sherry Tenpenny's site. I would look at Erin Elizabeth has a site. I think it's called Stop Mandatory Vaccines, and it talks about things
when,
in that site.
When you look at the information, you're like, hell no, never. Like, no,
right.
You know, not going to do it. But then when you hear close to home these issues, and so,
there's no evidence that they, and again, I can't persuade you one way or the other. Me
right,
personally,
right.
I would never take one.
Yeah, that's what I feel.
Having to drink measles anyway, first of all, go get a titer done. That's the first thing to know if you've developed it.
What is that?
A titer. Just run in and ask for a measles titer at a lab. And say, I don't know if I want to take this. I want to see what my titers are. And I'll tell you why. When I was in chiropractic school, there was an outbreak of measles and they said nobody can come into the clinic unless they've been vaccinated or they can prove they have measles titer. And I was like, I'm not getting vaccinated. Hell no. I'll have to be out 2 weeks, but then I'm going to lose 2 weeks of my internship. And I really don't want to do that. So I went and got a titer. I'd never had the measles as far as I knew, but I knew a sister had measles. My titer was fine and they let me in. So get your titer done to see if you actually need it. If, you know, and then if you don't have it, then, you know, again, research the pros and the cons. And personally, if it was me or my child, I, you know, they'd have to have me at gunpoint to make me take it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not here. Okay. So let me get into my insulin resistance. And I just wanted to clarify with you, once again that, insulin resistance basically means pre-diabetes. It's the same meaning.
When they talk about insulin resistance, it's usually pre-diabetes, and it basically means that your cells are becoming resistant.
Right, because when I told my husband that I'm insulin resistant, it was like, it sounds more scary than when you tell someone you're pre-diabetes. It's like, okay, I'm pre-diabetes. It's like, you know, but when you say the word insulin resistance, people get very scared, like, what? Like it sounds, I don't know, just... So,
it's interesting you say that because I would have thought the opposite, that when the word diabetes is in there that they get freaked out, and insulin resistance, people don't, I don't know what that is, so it can't be too bad. Anyway,
So, you know, for starters, I got the glucose monitor and I started monitoring my glucose in the morning, and I saw that, like, you know, I was 102, 108, 100, 103. I was like, that's according to Dr. Rita Marie, I'm there. And I have like an interesting thing because I'm constantly like monitoring myself. So I wake up in the morning, I have a certain number, then it dips a little, then it goes back up. So I just wanted clarification on that. And I also have like, let's say in the midday, like when I'm eating something and my insulin goes up and then it will go low and then jump back up.
Here's the thing. Does it go above where it starts in the morning? Like throughout the day, do you find that sometimes it goes above 110, 20, 30, 40?
So it depends when. It depends when. For instance, today morning I had something very different. This morning I had something very different. This morning I woke up, my blood sugar was 83 at 7:30, and then at 8 a.m. it was 94. This was before I ate anything. Then at 8:30 it was 87. That was this morning.
Those are just normal jumps up and down. Those are just typical. Once you get up and moving, your body starts moving, and the levels will go up and down. But here's the thing, and it's not been in the sweet spot. The sweet spot's where to learn it, and we have a short version of the sweet spot, which is called the Sweet Spot Metabolic Reset Kit. And it gives you everything you need to know to learn how to do it. It just doesn't take you through the long program.
I know all the support.
I would get that and learn it, because I can't teach how to test insulin, glucose, minutes on a call like this, or even 20 minutes on a call like this. I take time, and I have lots of videos and tracking. Mm-hmm. So in a long story short, Kiki, you're waking up. If your blood sugar is in the low 100s, you're definitely insulin resistant. You're definitely pre-diabetic, and there's something that needs to be done to help fix that. Number two, if you've got times when it's going low during the day, you're probably, your body's overproducing insulin, and it's over-clearing the blood. And then it drops really low. So that's hypoglycemia, reactive hypoglycemia. Very common in pre-insulin diabetes to see the ups and the downs and the swings. What it means is there's an irregularity in your body's ability to regulate insulin. It's an imbalance in irregularity. So it needs to be addressed. Like, why? Are there nutrients that are deficient? Are there particular foods that you're sensitive to that are raising it? We take you through in Sweet Spot, a 30-day metabolic reset. We have you test at very specific intervals, monitor it. We teach you how to go through that and decide which foods to keep in and which foods to keep during the 30-day metabolic reset, what supplements and herbs you might want to take to help support that, and then come back out and test on the other side. We see dramatic shifts in that. People who start out with their numbers in the 100s like you and end up with their numbers consistently in the 70s and 80s and don't ever go very high, and they feel better, lose weight, et cetera, et cetera. So I would highly recommend you check that out. Lynn can put the link into the thing.
Let me ask you, how high should your blood glucose go? Like, I noticed when I ate a banana or potato, it went like to 160, which...
It should never go that high, ever.
So what should, like, I had a smoothie with the blueberries, like such healthy, like a green smoothie, and it went up to 130 or 140. How high is acceptable?
110. Maybe 120 at the highest.
Is that realistic? Like, do people actually, is that like a realistic people? Are there
Mine
people who have a blood range?
Never.
Never?
Yeah, totally. Like, totally. Totally. Yeah. Oh, totally.
And
that's what we shoot for. That's what we shoot for.
This was such a shock to me. This was such a shock to me because I haven't been on refined sugar and processed foods for like over a year. I'm eating so healthy, and then I'm finding out that it's the healthy stuff that I'm eating.
More than just
that.
More than just that. It's more than just that. Okay, what was my shock when after 25 years of being on a completely plant-based diet with no refined foods at all, nothing but good food, but lots of variety, you know, and having sweeter or starchier foods, but whole foods, when my sugars went up to 168 after eating pineapple. It's a genetic tendency, but there's other things in your lifestyle, your exercise, your sleep, your timing of your meals, and genetic tendencies, your nutrients.
I definitely have that. Yeah, my father. Yeah. The genetic.
I highly suggest either get the reset kit or get the whole program. And just work your way through it, and you will be a changed person, and you will reduce the risk, and you'll be on your way to much healthier, happier life.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
I wish I could go into it here, but I mean, there's, you know, 12 hours of education in that program to take you through it. There's no way I could do that here.
I just wanted to understand, like those dips in the middle of the day, if it goes from If it goes from like 150 to 122 and then to 123, I just wanted to make sense of it, you know?
No, that's not good. Not good. Mm-hmm. Right. For a while, it will be, because you're starting at 105. If you're starting at 105, you know, it's going to go in the 120s. That's probably reasonable for a while you're bringing it down. But anything that goes out of the 20s for sure needs to be eliminated from your life. until you get it under control.
So let me ask you something. How about if it's like 113 at 420, and then at 440 it dips to 101, and then at 5 it gets 110?
It depends on what you've eaten, but that sounds totally reasonable.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay. So it makes sense that it goes lower and then jumps back up, yeah.
Yeah, and you'll find that eating salads and, you know, salads with tahini dressing or something like that will keep you nice and steady, but when you add the bananas or some grains or some other things, that it shoots you up. And that's where you solve your problem.
Right.
Okay?
Just a quick question. So if I'm eating, like, I'm trying very hard, like green smoothies and green juices and everything, I feel like I'm a very tiny person. I'm very petite, so I weigh just about 100 pounds. So by the time I'm done with green smoothies and everything and the chia seeds, I'm pretty much full. So if I'm eating pretty much the same thing every day, like, sometimes I'm afraid that am I getting enough of what I need, like nutrients?
Yeah, you vary them. So the green smoothie should vary the greens and vary the herbs and, you know, vary the chia. What do you put on the chia? Do you put almonds, sunflower seeds, hemp seeds? Do you put some green powders in there? I mean, there's so much variety. And all of that's covered in the thing. We have a 250-page recipe guide, menu plan, the whole bit.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, very good. Yeah. Okay.
There's lots of variety.
Thank you.
Stuff all the time. And yeah, it's concerning to eat the same stuff all the time that there's not enough nutrients, not enough variety.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Oh, okay.
All right.
Thank you. It's good to hear your voice again.
Good to hear you. Okay. Bye now. Lynn, you have your hand up.
Me? Oh, no, that I did that from before when I
was. Okay. You don't ever have to raise your hand. You can just chime in.
Oh, my polite self came out.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go ahead and do Jeannie, and I saw Jeannie, and there's a few more questions on the Q&A, so I'll go there, too. All right. So let's see. Jeannie, I'm trying to open you there. There you go. Oops, no. Wait. I keep hitting it. I think there's a delay. Okay, Jeannie, speak and let's see if we can hear you. Okay, can you hear me?
Okay.
I can.
Okay, all right. I put this in the Q&A so you can just disregard that. I just wanted to know if you can go over something that Drina is my coach, and I just was wondering about the castor oil packs for your liver. Can you kind of go over how you do that? How often?
Sure. Yeah, I love castor oil packs for the liver. And I'm going to mute you because I'm echoing. So I'll mute you while I'm speaking, and then we'll unmute you when – or actually I'll let you do it because I think you can
– Okay.
Yeah, so if you do a – oh, my – this is low, so sorry. I'm trying to – okay, so if you do a – if you do a star 7, you'll be able to talk. So if I start talking and you want to answer, then – because if your line's open while I'm talking, I'm hearing an echo. So anytime you want to pipe in and ask me a clarification, just do star 7. And castor oil packs are awesome for supporting liver health and also gut health. They're used a lot for women who have really bad menstrual cramps to do during periods. And you make a castor oil pack, and she went over how to make them, and you can look up online how to make them. And basically, I like to say, you know, for just general detox, if you're not like in the middle of a detox program, a couple times a week is fine. Or if you're just starting to detox, maybe 3 times a week, and then you get it down to 1 a week. But 3 times a week, and you leave them on at night. You can put them on, you can put hot heat over it and just sleep with it. You can also get like those, they're like kind of bed sheets, like for the hospitals use in case somebody has an accident and they absorb. So you can wrap that around you so that you don't get your sheets all full of castor oil, and you leave them on overnight. If you're not going to sleep with it, I would say put a hot pack on it and leave it on for an hour. And you do that anywhere from 1 to 3 times a week. Does it sound good? Where is she? Jamie.
Okay, now can you hear me?
Yeah, I can now.
Okay. Yeah, no, that sounds great. I've never ever done one, so I was a little apprehensive until I have the directions for how to, you know, do it all. Yeah. And I just was curious how often. I was really doing it just really more for the liver detox part of it.
Yeah, so if you start with once, see how you goes. If you can do it three times a week for a few weeks, that'll just give you a jump start and then get in the motive once or twice a week to do it.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Thank
you. One of my colleagues that I have a new resource for it, so I'm hoping that I have access to that real soon. But a colleague of mine who calls herself, she actually gave us a bonus for ERC, and you guys should have it somewhere. Trying to close your, I can't even close your mic anymore. My computer's so hosed. Okay. All right. Sorry. So she has these castor oil packs. She calls herself the Queen of Thrones. She's a naturopath who's like a colon hydrotherapist and really into having good bowel movements, and she uses the castor oil packs for that. And she has this, she showed me this one. It's just so amazing. It makes life so much easier to have, and it has, you know, straps, and it's amazing. And she was going to send me a sample, and I haven't gotten it from her yet. So I'm going to send her an email, because I would like to just get on, you know, with her and be able to give you guys so you can get them, because they're makes life so much easier, because making castor oil packs can be super messy and keeping them on and all that. All right, so I thought I saw Jay's hand come up and then down and close. So, Jay, if you have anything, just put your hand up and we'll make sure we get to you. And then, let's see. Yeah, I'm going to have to reboot before my next call, so let's. Come on, baby. I can't even click anything. Lynn, will you look at that? Will you open your line and look at the Q&A and the chat and see if there's any other questions for me? I just can't. It's just my computer just completely hosed up.
Sure. We were just talking about the flannel for the castor oil pack. Gail just ordered her Freestyle Libre. I actually use those blue chub sheets instead of flannel. And let's see. I'm looking up the name because I'm on her. Dr. Maripal. Yeah, I'm on her email list.
It just flipped ago and it finally flipped and it was a knit and. And then I don't peel it. I think you can peel it if you want, but I don't. All right. So I guess we're good then.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, everybody, for being here. I hope you have an amazing Thanksgiving, if that's something you celebrate. And if you don't, just think of us here out of the country or whatever. Think of us here in the States and send thanks our way. We all have so much to be grateful for, and I know it doesn't always seem that way when you're living amidst the fire or there's political unrest and there's weird stuff that keeps happening. But let's just keep our focus on the positivity and the just be in the mode of attracting more positivity and really feeling into gratitude. And the more we have gratitude for, the more we attract things that will bring us gratitude. And I know people say that sounds all horny and hokey and corny, but it really is true. And I think we have to stay in that mode in order for our bodies to heal. So I bless you all. I'll open up your lines and we can all say goodbye to each other. Bye bye, everybody. Thank you for being here.
Goodbye, Kim.
Goodbye.
Happy Thanksgiving
to all.
Happy Thanksgiving.